Chapter 23. When neither Sean nor Duff put in an appearance at the exchange the next morning, the rumours surged round the members' lounge, and the prices started running amok. Reliable information that Sean and Duff had struck a rich new goldfield across the Vow sent the prices up like rocketing snipe. Then 20 minutes later the denial came in and clipped 15 shillings a share off the Courtney Charleywood stock. Johnson ran backwards and forwards between the office and the exchange all morning. By 11 he was so tired he could barely talk.
"Don't worry any more, Johnson," Sean told him. "Here's a sovereign. Go down to the Grand National and buy yourself a drink. You've had a hard morning."
One of Jock Haines's men, who had been detailed off to watch the Courtney Charleywood offices, followed Johnson down to the Grand National and heard him place his order with the barman. He raced back to the exchange and reported to Jock.
"Their head clerk has just gone and ordered himself a bottle of French champagne," he panted.
"Good God!" Jock nearly jumped out of his chair, and beside him Trevor signalled frantically for his clerk. "Buy," he whispered in the man's ear. "Buy every scrap of their script you can lay your hands on." Across the lounge, Heradsky settled down a little further in his chair. He clasped his hands contentedly over the front of his stomach, and he very nearly smiled. By midnight, Sean and Duff had completed their counter-proposal to Heradsky's offer.
"How do you think Norman will react to it?" asked Sean.
"I hope his heart is strong enough to stand the shock," Duff grinned. "The only reason that his jaw won't hit the floor is that his great gut will be in the way."
"Shall we go down to his hotel now and show him?" suggested Sean.
"Laddie, laddie," Duff shook his head sorrowfully. "After all the time I've spent on your education, and you still haven't learnt."
"What do we do then?"
"We send for him, laddie. We make him come to us. We play him on the home ground."
"How does that help?" Sean asked.
"It gives us an advantage immediately. It makes him remember that he's the one doing the asking."
Heradsky came down to their office at 10 o'clock the next morning. He came in state, driven behind a 4 in hand, and attended by Max and 2 secretaries. Johnson met them at the front door and ushered them into Sean's office.
"Norman! Dear old Norman, I'm delighted to see you," Duff greeted him. And, fully aware of the fact that Heradsky never smoked, Duff thrust a cheroot between his lips. When everyone was seated, Sean opened the meeting.
"Gentlemen, we have spent some time examining your proposition, and in the main, we find it just, fair, and equitable."
"Hear, hear," Duff agreed politely.
"At the outset, I want to make it quite clear," Sean went on, "that Mr. Charleywood and myself feel strongly that the union of our 2 ventures is desirable, nay, essential. If you will forgive the quotation, ex unitat vires."
"Hear, hear, hear, hear," Duff lit his cigar.
"As I was saying, we have examined your proposition and we accept it readily and happily, with the exception of a few minor details which we have listed." Sean picked up the thick pile of paper. "Perhaps you'd care to glance through it, and then we can proceed to the drawing up of a formal agreement." Max accepted the sheaf gingerly.
"If you want privacy, Mr. Charleywood's office, which adjoins this room, is at your disposal."
Heradsky took his band next door, and an hour later, when he led them back again, they looked like a party of pallbearers. Max was on the verge of tears. He cleared the lump from his throat.
"I think we should examine each item separately, he said sadly. And 3 days later, they shook hands on the deal. Duff poured the drinks and gave each man a glass. To the new company, Central Rand Consolidated. It has been a long confinement, gentlemen, but I think we have given birth to a child of which we can be proud. Hradsky had control, but it had cost him dearly. Central Rand Consolidated had its christening party on the main floor of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. 10% of the shares were put out for sale to the public. Before the day's dealings began, the crowd had overflowed the Stock Exchange building and jammed in the street for a block in each direction. The president of the exchange read the prospectus of Central Rand Consolidated. In the cathedral hush, his every word carried clearly to the members' lounge. The bell rang, and still the hush persisted. Hradsky's authorized clerk broke the silence timidly. I sell CRCs. It was nearly a massacre. 200 men were trying to buy shares from him simultaneously. First his jacket and then his shirt disintegrated beneath the clutching hands. He lost his spectacles, crushed to powdered glass beneath the trampling feet. 10 minutes later he managed to fight his way out of the crowd and report to his masters. I was able to sell them, gentlemen. Sean and Duff laughed. They had reason to laugh, for in those 10 minutes their 30% holding in CRC had appreciated in value by £500,000.